Ben. Ben. Ben.
What? You're listening to episode 184 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Mile Podcast. I know yawning doesn't mean excitement, but fuck it. I just woke up because, holy shit, Age of Ultron. We'll get into that in a second, obviously, but, and plus some first thing ever on the Mighty Warriors 3 Mile Podcast. But first and foremost, let's get the introductions out of the way. I am Ultron's servant, the marvelous Iggy, a.k.a. Ben. Joining me is the man who will be bowing down to Ultron this summer, is Mr. Brian Powers. Brian?
Bow down to the Patriots to fucking trample the Broncos. Hell yeah!
Ultron couldn't even predict that outcome. Yeah. And joining me is the man who's running away to see if he can find Thanos somewhere. Taser, Taser, welcome to the show.
That Infinity Gauntlet is mine!
You with an Infinity Gauntlet is terrifying.
Yes.
Just manipulate it to where I get a lot of you and I get a lot of money.
That's rule 34 everywhere. That's all I'm gonna say.
That's
rule 34 everywhere and hail Hydra.
That is equal parts terrifying and awesome.
Exactly.
With the Infinity, well, if or rather, let's just go with the Marvel Comics version of Marvel Cosmic Cube. You just reshape reality that way.
All I can picture is, like, Taser with the Infinity Gauntlet when he comes back to Earth, and it's like, everyone's like, get out of here. He's like, you want me on Earth? Fine. I'll go make my own Earth with Blackjack and hookers.
That's right.
All right. So in case you weren't aware, a little trailer came out. Now, normally, we dissect the trailer. We talk about we're excited for the trailer. But good old frontman, not frontman, I'm the frontman, bass guitar, Taser decided to say,
I'm drummer. I like to go around without my shirt on, so I'm drummer.
Okay, fine. Drummer.
Really? I was going to say you make the black guy bass guitar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that is a trope, isn't it? Holy shit.
Token, go get the bass guitar out of your basement. I don't have a bass guitar in my basement. Token, you're black. You have a bass guitar in your basement. Go get it. Meet us back here. Hey, you're right. There was a bass guitar in my basement.
All right. Drummer Taser has decided to come with a brilliant idea of basically us watching the trailer live. And
but
this
not
is,
the regular trailer.
No,
the
this
special...
is...
special.
Yeah, because...
the cooler one.
Because,
yay!
Because somebody decided to... I don't know if they were going to always show this footage, but somebody... Age of Ultron was... the trailer for Age of Ultron was supposed to debut on last week's... last week's... Was it last week's, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to be last week.
At the time of recording Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode. But unfortunately, it got leaked everywhere. So Disney / Marvel, whoever's decision was, said, you know what? Fuck it. Just release it. They've seen it already. Let's just give it what they want.
They gave us a beautiful, high-definition, crystal-clear trailer of James Spader's voice. Just
okay. Hold your excitement. So what we're going to do is, for the first time ever, we're going to, quote-unquote, live-talk the trailer, all 2 minutes and 34 seconds of it. So if you want... I'm going to count us down for you listeners as well, so you can watch along with us in case you also have open devices as well. I don't know what I'm doing right there. So, yeah.
It's with
so,
the Dixie accent, man.
I don't know.
Somebody give that guy a banjo. Better yet, just show up at JV's house. I'm sure he got one.
Kind of like, I hear banjos.
All right, so are you – all right, boys, I'm going to count us down. Are you all at 0030, whatever it is? I don't
yes, sir.
Care. Thank you.
Hey! All
right. So counting to the live action something of Age of Ultron. 3, 2.
Wait. Are we going on one or going on go after one?
We're going on one. We're going on go.
I just
we're
want
going,
to be clear
we're,
for the listeners.
We're going on go. All right. We're
okay.
going on go.
Okay.
I don't think I said. 3, 2.
Teen Titans go?
Yes. I love that. I hate that show. The new Teen Titans one is hilariously awesome, though. I love.
I have so much to talk about after the show is over.
Yes. Three, two, one, go. Okay. Oh, look, it's New York City.
Shut up, Hawkeye. You fire bows and arrows.
You know, he does have a lot more personality.
Excuse me,
around.
I'm Tony Stark.
He unzips the jacket.
Fair, but firmly cruel.
I'll handle this.
Nope. I love this. He took off the jacket this time. Look at that.
Yep.
He means business. Oh, look, there's not Terrence Howard.
No, nah, but Rhodey and Tony do great romance. Thor's face was priceless.
That was great. He got worried a little bit. And then this. Thor looks weird in that suit. I'm not going to lie.
I know. He's just finally wearing normal clothes now. It's like.
Wait. Hold on.
Okay. Something. Oh, yeah.
Something's going down. Oh.
Look at that mane.
Pinocchio.
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, he did not like that.
Guys, I want to go. I don't want to be here anymore.
Scariest use of Pinocchio ever.
Why would Captain America not have his, thing on? That's kind of,
facial shot.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we need to have that, though.
Oh, man. Lots. Oh, is that?
Oh, there they are.
Is the twins?
Hey, Stilson. And the not scary one.
Oh, boy. Oh, look, he's
here. Black guy in the house. And the Olsen's on her knees.
And then
Hulkbuster arm.
Oh, this is it. The fight of the century.
Oh, God.
She looks hot riding a motorcycle.
Yes, she does.
Absolutely. Hey, look, it's Ulysses Claw, everybody.
Oh, is that who that was?
Yeah.
Before it becomes a sound creature.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Somebody's pissed off.
Hulk's using cars again.
Oh, God.
You gotta like that. Ooh, I don't think Cap dodged that one.
Oh, hold on.
Oh, nice. You have to think about that, just for a little bit to realize where it comes from.
Yeah.
But it is so fucking appropriate.
Yes. Okay, so now, I'm going to let you guys go first because I figured it's appropriate. So, Taser, go ahead. Just go ahead.
I want to see this movie.
Hey, calm down, buddy. Calm down.
I want to see this movie.
Oh, God, he's rabid. Get the
meat out. Movie.
Okay, there you go. See, now it's all okay.
Hey, I want to see this movie. It already has my money. I think I'll just go sit in front of the movie theater right now.
It has my money twice.
Screw
yes,
you.
Yes, you know what?
Cubed.
Taser, I agree with you. Because my life, it has no meaning until this
yes,
movie drops.
I thoroughly agree with that.
I'm going to go sit in front of the movie theater, and I'm going to wait for this movie to come out. And then when it does, it'll be great. Everything will be
I'm already
great.
In line. I'm already yes. in line. I'm doing this outside my theater.
Long enough to see this movie. That's all I got to say.
Yeah,
nothing here. Else matters except getting to, what is it, May, April, June?
May of 2015.
Like May, okay. May. Until whenever 2015, that's when I'll be free of the willing shackles that I will gladly wear to keep me on target to see this film. There is no other film that I look forward to in 2015, as far as I know. Well, wait a minute.
Time
when
will
did
tell.
Star Wars 7 finish?
It's coming out December of next year. So, yeah, it's also coming out next year.
Okay, well, this one comes out first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, yeah, I live to get to see this film. I don't think there's anything else that needs to be said.
No.
Awesomeness has been achieved.
I'm just going to go become like the Phantom of the Opera at the movie theater and steal and subsist on popcorn and just like movie candy.
Now you're making
like
me want to use Phantom of the Opera as the opening theme because I love that music.
And you know what, though? I like that idea. Just living among the ducks. And then the air corridors of the ceiling just dropping down, right in the kitchen, ducking back up.
It's like, what the fuck was that? I don't know.
Oh, that's a phantom. He just lives here until Avengers comes out.
He'll be gone then. Just got to put on.
You know that? Well, yeah, I played him in Dance Dance Revolution in the arcade once. Pretty sick.
That seriously sounds like a cool webcomic that should be done.
Somebody that really should be done, yeah.
All right. Tim, I'm looking at you. So I guess I have to speak now. I guess I have
Want to say one thing.
Okay.
John, sorry. I really wish you could have been here for this, dude. But unfortunately, you got sick. So, you know, good wishes. Hope you get better. Hope you see you next show. But we couldn't wait, bro. We just could not
wait. This had to happen, John boy. It just had to be.
All right. So the biggest thing at hand is obviously me, the Ultron fanboy. Now, I'm fully convinced this is coming off. This is going to be a little bit based off of the Ultron Unlimited storyline, in which Ultron attempted to cause a nuclear war in an Eastern European country, which I can't remember. I think it's a made-up one. Simply because of some of those snowy shots just reminded me of, like, Band of Brothers. Wow. There was so much snow and just how the trees looked. It just looked similar to me, so, like, that got me excited. Ultron himself... One, James Spader fucking killed it. He fucking killed it.
Holy crap, did he ever kill it.
That opening segment, obviously, which was different in the normal trailer, but of just, you know, you just hear his voice and, you know, the string metaphor, and it's just like, you know, like they did it. Like, he sounded human, which I think is the point, but he sounded robotic enough, you know? Like it was coming through his speaker. Like, it was coming through his speaker. And at the end, it was completely robot, you know? It didn't even sound like him, but you could tell it was still him. That it was spine tingling, and I like that he looks imposing. I enjoyed every single bit of the trailer. It was what I think the big thing that anybody could point out was, like, Avengers was clearly a theme park ride. You know, like, oh, look, they're here and they're here, and we're going to do this now. And, oh, here's the helicarrier. Oh, it's crashing. Oh, we're in New York, and all the heroes are fighting together, right? Whereas this one is a lot darker, at least on the trailer. There's no way to indicate what the movie's going to be like, but it looks like this is going to be a lot more darker, you know, what Deadpool will like. But this movie looks like it's going to be, like, not everybody's going to come out of this okay, are they? Like, I'm getting huge Empire Strikes Backs, but seriously, fuck everything else, because all that matters is Ultron. Like, Hulkbuster was cool. I'm fully convinced Ultron is controlling the Hulkbuster somehow, or he's controlling Hulk somehow. But all I care about is Ultron, and that final line of "there are no strings on me," and plus seeing Cap's shield broken in half, which is like, you know,
holy shit.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that's not good, you know, was just spine-chilling. And it, you know, and it makes you wonder, like, and obviously we know what we're talking about next. They're not going to die. At least some of them aren't going to die. Hulk may die. They may kill Bruce, or Black Widow, or Hawkeye, or Maria Hill, or Don Cheadle. Yeah, there's a lot of people who could die. I'm excited. I will be there with my dad, you know, on opening nights. I will wear a Ultron helmet if I can have one. This movie is going to be the best superhero movie we've ever seen, featuring my favorite Avengers since favorite Marvel villain of all time. So that's also really cool. Now, excuse me while I have to go get untangled from my strings, please. I'll be right back.
I'm looking at this one bit on YouTube, Avengers Age of Ultron, 5 Things You Missed.
Uh-huh.
There's a Peggy Carter sequence.
Huh. That's interesting.
Yeah. They show Haley Atwell in shots that I didn't see in Captain America.
Hmm.
In this.
Maybe.
So apparently there's a bit back in time with
about
the looks of it with Captain America and Peggy.
Yeah, and also
so we get to look forward to that.
Yeah, well, and also apparently Idris Elba and Loki in some fashion will be in Age of Ultron.
Yeah, I did see that too. I saw that just today.
Which is interesting. I'm like, well, how's that gonna work? you know. I do like how Scarlet Witch looks. You know, she definitely looks Euro, Eastern European kind of girl with the skirt and the jacket and sort of just not. I don't want to say Euro trash because I don't think that's the term. But you know, just she looks like she's from out of Eastern
European
Europe.
Enough.
European enough. Yeah, she looks like she's from Eastern Europe. You know, which is like that to me. Like Wanda's from that. You know, and maybe eventually. And like, I don't expect her to have. I wish she had the tiara, like the red tiara thing. You know, because like that's not like a costume thing. That's just like maybe something she had. But like I maybe you know who knows. I'm excited. The point is, I'm excited. Okay.
And you know that shot of that castle or whatever that we see just before Captain America kicks in that door?
You mean not Castle Doom?
Yeah. All right, thank you. Because that's exactly what I was feeling when I saw that.
I'm telling you, this is set in the Eastern Marvel Universe, Eastern part of the Marvel Universe. At least some of it will be.
So then... Okay, then let me ask this.
Okay.
Aside from Castle Doom, what in the Marvel Universe, or rather, where in the Marvel Universe could that be?
What, where the castle is?
Yeah, exactly.
Eastern Europe.
Not Wundagore.
It's not...
Exactly, unfortunately, because that would be real nice. Think about it. Imagine if they could introduce Wundagore. That leads to the humans. That also leads to the
evolutionary. Yeah, but the thing I think, just based on that setting, on those few snow scenes, I'm convinced that that's Eastern Europe. Maybe not specifically Wundagore, because we still got a long way to go. Not a long way to go. Shit, it's already November.
Exactly.
You know, we're only 5 months away, six months, seven months away, which is crazy when you think about it. It'll be here like that. But I'm pretty sure it'll be Eastern Europe, and it may or may not be Wundagore. All I know is that Scarlet Witch is going to be new. And also, I did not know that was usually as Claw. And how exactly is Baron von Wolfgang von Strucker going to play a role? Because we know he's
behind Hydra. The scenes, dude. He pulls fucking strings. That's so what he
are you,
does.
Are you calling him Ultron's puppet master?
I'm calling him the puppet master of the organization that will probably try and supplant Ultron.
Oh, you mean Hydra?
Yes.
Okay. Is he Hydra?
I don't know how Hydra fits in. I mean, obviously, Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch are still working for Hydra.
Yeah, he was the lead of Hydra. Didn't you know that?
No, in the movies. In the movies, though. We don't.
Yeah, in the movie. Well, remember.
Well, he was.
Excuse me. They introduced him in
Winter Soldier.
Yeah, exactly. So,
well, I'm just curious, like, what his role is going to be, because we know he's talked about that he's in it. We know he's in it, but I'm curious on what his involvement is now. Like,
fair enough.
Is he working for? I don't think he's Ultron.
I'm thinking temporary alliance with Ultron.
You know what I'm thinking? Actually, I thought instead of that, I thought that this looks like Ultron's going to take an interest in the twins, because there's that shot of them standing next to him.
Right.
Sort of as like lieutenants, which I'm like, well, what does that mean?
But that's what I'm saying, temporary alliance. I mean, I could definitely see Ultron doing something like that.
And that's where Ultron creates Vision, and Wanda gets the hots for the Vision right on the spot.
Sounds British.
I really hope she blushes the first time Vision opens his mouth. I'm like, yes, do it.
No, I hope they have her act like Ultimate Wanda. Where she doesn't just blush, she gets moist. Because that would just make me smile.
Oh, she starts flirting with the machine?
Yeah.
Yeah, no Vision, though, which, you know, you don't want to show no Vision, but, you know, you don't want to show all your cards on the table, you know, which is fine. What did y'all think of the look of Ultron's face?
I didn't
hate it.
You didn't hate it?
The final product, apparently, with the red eyes and everything,
yeah.
All right, but there's that one shot of... it looks like a robot climbing up out of water or whatever when everything's all silver and stuff.
Yeah.
I kind of like that better because the final face looks too expressive.
Yeah.
You know?
It
looks too like they want to try to make it emote, you know, like human. Try to make it more human and give it some emotion.
Yeah.
Rather than...
Well, Taser, that's expected because, you see, he had strings. But now he's free.
Yeah, exactly. So then why would he bother?
to stick it to Tony Stark?
I don't know.
Nah, I don't buy that. Well, maybe so, but I'll just say, while I do like the final, what the final face apparently will look like, I rather like that one shot of the Silver with the like blue eye.
Because that looks like classic Ultron. I think those are
exactly.
Just,
I kind of like that.
Those,
know?
Yeah, I think those are things he. I mean, obviously we know in the comics.
His drones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I kind of figured that too, but I'm just saying, I liked that. Just a bit more than I like what Ultron will finally look at.
But he sounds fucking intimidating.
Yeah, no, I'll give him that, although I do think that a lot of that has to do with, you know, digital voice processing and everything else. They got to tweak the voice.
But you also have to have the base of, like, it was the delivery as well. It wasn't just the sound of his voice.
No, I'll agree with that. Definitely, no argument there. I just think that a lot of it kind of comes from that. But I do think he also did have to give it something, you know, in order to make you go, oh, shit. And he did achieve that. You know, he did kind of, whoa, you know what I mean? He pulls it off.
Yeah.
So I have no complaints whatsoever with what I've heard so far from him.
No.
None whatsoever.
All right. So let's move on to the next big thing.
Which is just basically more of the same thing.
Yeah, kind of. So apparently...
More of same!
Apparently last Tuesday, Marvel was going to have a press conference... Not press conference, they rented out a theater to show off a huge presentation that was revealed a while back. And it was revealed that basically they dropped Phase 3, like, well, here you go. And Brian, run down a list on what we got coming for Phase 3.
Yes. Starting off, following Avengers Age of Ultron, first appearing on May 6th, 2016, Captain America.
Has everybody forgotten about Ant-Man that's coming out the few months after Age of Ultron?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Forgot about that.
Yes, because nobody really cares.
We all
after look. Avengers Age of Ultron, Ant-Man.
There you go. Just got to...
the first Marvel Phase 3 movie begins on May 6th, 2016 with Captain America Civil War. Following that same year in November, on November 4th, will be Doctor Strange, wherein Benedict Cumberbatch is in negotiations with, but not yet confirmed to be playing the role of one Doctor Strange.
He even shares my name. It's like it's made to be.
Well, it's Benedict, not
Benedict. Well, you chop off the
Ben
the dick. You chop off the eye dick, and then it's me. It's Ben Cumberbatch.
Ben's
okay,
dick.
Okay. I'm not going to rain on your parade.
Don't. It's mine, okay?
In 2017, we have three movies to look forward to. On May 5th will be Guardians of the Galaxy 2. On July 28th, Thor, Ragnarok. And on November 3rd...
Silencing!
And on November 3rd, actually 3 years from today, excuse me.
Yeah, holy
math
shit.
No good. 3 years from today, Black Panther, starring Chadwick Boseman of 42 and Get On Up, starring as Prince T'Challa, a.k.a. the Black motherfucking Panther.
I have no idea how to feel about that.
Well, maybe if you see some of his more stuff, you'll feel differently.
Agreed. So it's not like I can hate on Chadwick Boseman. I just have seen nothing.
But he's a fine,
but it
fine should have
been Amistad. It should have been Amistad. That's me. Maybe he'll
I still say Chiwetel Ejiofor. You know, I still rather like him. But I'm not going to rule this guy out, you know.
He played
so
really
I have
good
no.
Give it to Michael Jai White because God knows he can't beat Cage. There's only Cruz for Cage.
Well, you know, Michael Jai White can actually fight, so that would look awesome on screen.
Yeah. I think he could do it.
Okay, bring it down. Okay. And then,
you know,
in 2018, shit gets fun. At an unspecified date during May of 2018, will be Avengers Infinity War Part 1. Following that same year, in July 6th, will be Captain Marvel, wherein a few of the names being tossed around eyeing the role of Carol Danvers, a.k.a. Captain Marvel, has been Catherine Winnick, who has been lately seen on Vikings on History Channel, or Jessica Chastain, who is probably best known for Zero Dark Thirty. She was the CIA agent in that movie.
She was the redhead?
Yes, she was.
Really? Her? Ew!
It's just a rumor. Nothing has been confirmed yet.
We got a long way before that movie even starts.
Ew. Anywho, following that, in November 2nd, 2018, Inhumans, which I am just so excited for. And rounding out Phase 3, May 2019, unspecified date, Avengers Infinity War Part 2.
Okay. You know what? Okay.
I'm worried.
Okay. Here's what I wanted. And it ruins the plan because Inhumans and Captain Marvel come out during it. But what I would have loved is that at the end of Avengers Infinity War Part 1, it's Josh Brolin kills half the Marvel Universe. And that's the end of Part 1. And then
that would be a hell of a cliffhanger.
So you don't have any movies in between then. And it just like. And you don't announce anything? And you really think the universe is dead?
That would not be bad. I would applaud them if they did that.
But because it's coming out, it's like, ah, damn it. You're so close. But, okay, one, Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange is the only thing that matters. Doctor Strange is the only thing that matters. Oh, my God. Was it 2016, right?
I posted it right in the message box for you there.
Okay, so 2016. November
4th, 2016. So 2 years from tomorrow, actually.
Oh, my God.
Two years, and you'll be sitting watching Doctor Strange, Iggy.
Oh, my God, I can't believe it. And if it's Cumberpatch? Cumberpatch or Gumber...
Chamberdean.
Is it
Chambermaid.
Chouette 4. who's it? Crucifer Cage, something like that. Yeah, something like that.
Comma Chameleon.
Khan Kamala something. I don't know.
Kamala the Ugandan Headhunter?
Yes.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Benedict Cumberpatch?
Oh, Cumberbatch.
B-A-T-C-H, like Batch.
Oh, Cumberbatch. Not Patch?
Yes.
Batch. Like a batch of cookies. Okay. It's good. Chadwick Boseman. I don't know anything. I saw 42. He was good in it. I don't know. That doesn't mean he could play a good T'Challa, but we'll have to see. I did apparently at the theater, both Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr. were there, and they actually asked him to pick a side, which was pretty funny. And apparently he's Black Panther's going to show up in Cap 3 or Cap Civil War, barely.
Is that right? They said that?
Apparently.
Yeah.
And also that, while it's called Civil War, it won't necessarily be about identities because, as we know in the Marvel Universe, Cinematic Universe, identities isn't really the issue. It's more about who do they answer
It'll
to.
It'll be a universe spanning where all six heroes fighting each other for control of whether identity should be public or not.
Well, I mean, by then, Daredevil will have been up and running, and then you have maybe other people. So,
yeah.
And maybe Spider-Man in our imaginations is swinging around.
I will say, though, that what perhaps most disappointed me is that for 20 beautiful minutes, I lived in a world where I thought Cap 3 was going to have the Serpent Society.
Yeah, I thought.
And I had the rug pulled out from under me.
They could still do the Serpent Society.
No, they couldn't. Think about it.
I know.
Do you realize how
varied
the Serpent Society would be?
I wanted to see Viper in her proper form.
I would love for them to do the Serpent Society.
She's
but
my favorite.
Stop and think about what we've had with the Marvel Universe to date. We haven't had any strange-looking humans, really.
Well,
everybody's looked normal. Yeah. That's not the case with the Serpent Society.
No, half of them are snakes.
Or snake-ish.
Yeah.
You know, you have... what's his name? You have the guy who's like a cyborg. He's got the snake bottom and the bionic arms.
There's
King
Cobra, I think.
You've got the dude with the cape that teleports and Diamondback, you know? Python.
Oh, you know, Python? If it was Diamondback, they could play up the relationship like Steve could have the hots for her.
That would be fun. That would really – but now they're going to push what's the name, Carter.
Yeah. So, well, that doesn't mean Steve can't, like, huh, she's really attractive. I wonder if she'll show me her ankle. Because he's from the 40s.
Waka.
No, but still in all, though, you know, we haven't gotten any strange-looking people yet, is my point. You know, and that's really what, you know, the Serpent Society is. They're all really varied, and to have them translated on screen, considering that we've gotten very conservative superheroes, and, you know, visually, when you think about it, especially costume-wise, I think I might be disappointed, because I really enjoyed that run in Captain America. That was one of my favorite stretches of Steve Rogers stories, you know? I mean, I was, oh, man, I loved the book at that point. I think that would be a bit of a disappointment.
I can't believe this actually turned into a talk about the Serpent Society. I was just viewing it as like an offhanded joke.
I'm just saying, because it's something that they could bring in, but I'm worried, personally. I'm worried about how they riffed it off on screen, knowing how conservative they've been in regards to, you know, what they put on screen.
Well,
you know, they've tried to keep things as normal as possible
I point to Guardians of the Galaxy, and that wasn't
normal. Which is the first one that has shown a lot of variances, and even then, we've gotten, aside from Groot and Rocket, you know, I mean, we got what's his name, Batista with tattoos, and they dunked what's her name in green paint.
Well, to be fair, Gamora's just in green skin too, so it's not like that much. She's a humanoid in the comics, so you're complaining about.
Oh, okay, no, well that's fair, but you know it's like, they didn't put in Bug.
They only put in the people who the Guardians.
Abomination. Yeah, he was kind of messed up ish, kind of.
Yeah, kind of messed up ish.
Well, no, he was messed up ish. You talking about? He looked like a fish.
Yeah, Abomination.
He looked like a He looked like a fish. Look, the point is, you need to stop worrying because obviously. By the way, that trailer of Thanos holding up the Infinity Gauntlet. That evil shit eating grin. That evil shit eating grin he has. Josh Brolin's gonna kill it. He's gonna kill it.
But now think about that. The Infinity War. Mm-hmm. Remember how? Did you read Infinity Gauntlet?
I own it. Yes, it's big. Okay. It's crazy.
You're
already setting yourself up for disappointment. So stop right now.
So you at least recognize that I have a legitimate concern.
You're going to love the fucking movie anyways when the trailer comes out. You're going to be just like an Age of Ultron. Well, you will.
I just have concerns, and I'm voicing them now.
And you...
Can you see them introducing death?
Possibly.
Yeah.
All the concepts...
They should get Aubrey Plaza to play Death.
No, keep that woman away from my Marvel movies.
No, Calista Flockhart, because she's skinny and bony. Is she? And, you know, she could easily do Death.
Ozzy Osbourne!
Death has to be a
But how now. Funny would it be to see Josh Brolin make kissy faces at Ozzy Osbourne?
That would be disturbing. A-Train might like it. Let me stop.
Is he even into Ozzy Osbourne or Josh Brolin? We'll have to ask him that later.
If we're going to do that, then that means that, will they also introduce, like, the other gods and, like, Watcher, you know, the higher celestial?
We'll have to see what happens.
You know, abstracts. See, that's... what I'm talking about, because they haven't introduced that stuff yet. And look at the audience. The Infinity and Eternity? The living fragment of the who?
I don't think people are that stupid.
Really?
The elders
you obviously have some people who are like that, but I think the majority of the people are like read enough. This is also people who celebrate
Star Wars. Most of the people that went and saw Guardians of the Galaxy had never read the comic.
Yeah, and they all fucking love the movie, though.
Yeah, because it was funny and it had the music. But I bet you they didn't go out and buy the comic again.
There's no way for us to tell that, though.
I bet sales for that book have not gone up since the movies come out. How about that?
Well, that happens with every comic, though. That's not a fair. That happens with every book. We've been over this. Look, I don't want to fucking yell about this.
We're getting off topic.
The point is,
I have concerns.
No, and they're stupid.
Well,
I'm not
shove
gonna
your
lie.
Concerns up your up your.
I'm a New Yorker. Bite me.
And your opinion doesn't matter.
Fuck you, New York.
Look, the point is, we're all excited. Concerns, people not concerns. Small. They're concerns that should not be happening because fuck it, we got so many other shit to worry about before those movies even happen. Those movies aren't... We still got to get through Age of Ultron. I'm not going to worry about it. It's going to be fine. They're all going to be entertaining.
I don't have any concerns about Age of Ultron. That movie's already got my money.
And you'll be saying the same thing when Infinity War comes out. I guarantee it.
That's what I was just talking about. I don't have any worries about that, though. Oh, granted, it is sight and seen. I haven't seen shit about what they're planning on doing. You're 100% correct. So I ease off.
All right, so
can we talk about Inhumans?
Oh yeah, no,
Inhumans suck.
Okay, no, look. Aside from the fact, not debating quality because we don't know shit.
We don't know anything.
The Inhumans are getting a movie.
I think it's cool.
I'm not even saying it so much as like get excited. I'm saying it's like who would have ever thought the Inhumans would get a movie?
Whoever thought Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah,
No. You know why? Because I also would have said who would have thought Guardians of the Galaxy would have gotten the movie, and it happened. So I really can't be surprised.
I could have seen them faster than Inhumans, though. Personally, yeah.
No,
I could have.
No. More than Guardians of the Galaxy. Come on, be real here.
Yeah.
These Inhumans have had a presence, whereas Guardians was a book that a lot of people liked. But when it came out, like 4 or 5 years ago, I was like, huh? And then people liked it. But there wasn't more people know about the Inhumans because of their larger connections to the Marvel Universe than the Guardians. So yeah, I think it is more likely. Either way, it's not more likely that Guardians would have gotten the movie before that, like, than Inhumans.
The reason why I say that is because aliens. Aliens are easy to work with. We're talking a different class of human beings, you know, some of which look freaky, which should, again, also be interesting to see how they riff that off on screen. Like,
I wonder when they're going
to... Goat hooves and gill men and big
exactly. I want to see if they actually pull that off, you know?
I wonder, what time period they're going to do the Inhumans, you know? Because that's also a good thing. And who's going to be... And whoever plays Black Bolt, well, you can't speak. Or maybe... You know,
yeah. We'll get a whole lot of FaceTime with them, though, even though he can't talk.
Well, it'll all be about facial expressions, and I hope they do a nod to like that fork on his forehead actually used to be his power until they changed it.
Well, remember that fork on his forehead is a part of him.
Well,
you know,
before,
rather than it's a part of the costume.
Well, before
it's
it was him. Before that's what his power was. He would invent a wave out of it, and then they changed it.
Yeah, all right.
So I just wanted like a funny nod to that, and whoever's gonna be Medusa and all that, and Trigon and. For Triton? Triton.
Triton, yeah.
Not Trigon. That's the three-eyed dude from the other competition. So, yeah, there you go. Let us know what you think of Phase 3 and if you're excited and, you know, Black Panther and all these other, you know, diversity up the wazoo. Because, yeah.
No Black Widow movie? The fuck is wrong with you people?
We got Captain Marvel.
I share the opinion of Wally West in that...
He doesn't exist, though.
All this is nice.
He doesn't exist.
Damn it, I wanted a Black Widow movie.
But he doesn't exist.
You know who I'm talking
about.
Shut up, Brent West.
Oh,
he and I share this dream, this vision, this desire that there should be a Black Widow movie. And if nothing else other than the fact that she's been in, what, 4? You know? I mean,
yes.
That's like
Iron Man 2, Cat 2, Avengers.
That's kind of insulting.
Ah, whatever. I don't care.
And she kicks ass.
Scarlett Johansson has pulled
that shit together. I would love to see a movie where she's
I'd love to see a Hulk movie, but that's not happening.
I was going to save this. Hey, Ben, let the man talk.
No. I'd love to see a Hulk movie starring Mark Ruffalo as Bruce Banner. Hulk.
So would I.
So that ain't happening. I'd rather see that than Black Widow.
No, Black Widow is better than the Hulk. So
No, she's not.
More bankable.
No, she's
yes, not. It is. You're telling me you wouldn't pay more to see Scarlett Johansson than Mark Ruffalo.
I can see Scarlett Johansson in a lot of other movies. I can't see Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk in a lot
yeah,
of other
movies. Yeah, but how many movies can you see Scarlett Johansson kicking ass?
He's scantily clad at more than one point in the movie.
I don't care about that.
Better yet, we get those behind shots where it just focuses on her ass for some reason. Three of them in Avengers.
Can I just say, I was going to leave this until the end of the show for the plugs, but I got to tell you this right now. Okay. Nathan Edmondson, current writer of the Black Widow solo ongoing at Marvel, as well as a couple other books. He literally wrote a 6-page intro to a Black Widow movie in his own head and posted it online for free to everybody to look at. It's over at his website, NathanE.com. That's NathanE.com. And it is awesome, and that alone could more than start a movie. I mean, it takes us to Budapest, so, you know, Budapest.
Budapest. Scarlett Johansson in tight pants in Budapest.
I would like to see that. And it'll likely be cold, so she'll probably be poking through a little bit.
All right, whatever. I consider me one of the people who doesn't care about Black Widow enough to want to see her in a feature-length film.
No disrespect to
Scarlett Johansson. She's fine. She's great as a character, but I personally am not the biggest fan. I am much more excited about Captain Marvel.
Yeah,
you'd rather
see Doc Strange and the robot than Scarlett Johansson.
Well, yeah. I mean, but if Doc Strange was a female, it wouldn't be the same thing.
You probably wouldn't be interested, right?
No, I would be. I'd be there day one.
Okay.
My fanfic can come true.
What if it was Dr. Voodoo as Dr. Strange?
No, because it's not Dr. Strange. It's Dr. Voodoo.
He was the Sorcerer Supreme.
For all the 5 minutes, because how much of a shit job he did.
It's 3 or 4 issues. It's a little more than 5 minutes.
No, it's 5 fucking minutes. He's a footnote in Marvel history. That's all I'm saying. And I'm just pissing Brian off more and more and more. All right. Well, let's move on to individual reviews so we can.
Doctor Strange is gonna suck. Inhumans will be better.
Benedict Cumberbatch will say otherwise.
Oh,
he can't get the role. He's not even confirmed yet.
I'm sure he'll. Who else is it gonna be at this point? They have to cast somebody by now.
I would love to see Ewan McGregor in that role.
No, keep Obi-Wan away from my movies. He's gonna be.
He was the best part of those movies. What's wrong with
you? No, he's not. That's like saying. Man, you know what? I'm glad I didn't get stabbed. I only got stabbed once, but that guy got stabbed twice over there. Things are much
Thanks,
better.
Thanks, JonTron. Let's move on to the next bit.
Can't get that shit past me. I was hoping you wouldn't. Fuck you. All right. Anyways, individual reviews. I am reviewing the She-Hulk number 9, I believe, issue number 9.
Great.
So basically, this is People's Court in a way. This is the alt. This is the showdown between Captain America's on trial because somebody accused him. He's being accused of manslaughter or
wrongful death.
Wrongful death And at the end of the previous issue, it was revealed that Matt Murdock, who is now lawyer in San Francisco and Daredevil, is actually going to be the defendant, opposing counsel, prosecutor. Matt Murdock's the I watched Law and Order Special Victims Unit like you wouldn't believe, and now
Matt
I cannot
Murdock's acting
I can't remember any terms.
I cannot remember. This is why I'm not a lawyer. Oh gosh. Jennifer Walters is the defendant and Matt Murdock is the counselor, I believe. Okay, so basically, it's basically a lawyer battle. You know, there is little to no, there is no act, there's one action sequence, and it's a workout session between She-Hulk and Daredevil. But basically, it's really just like, as a person like me, whose favorite part of Law and Order is the courtroom stuff, I ate this up like candy. It's Matt Murdock ripping She-Hulk's defense to threads, and of course. Cap being the ultimate gig, like, no, let him do his
thing. Let him talk. Let him finish. I'm sure he has a valid opinion. It's
and
fine.
And so, like, she hooks, like, come on. You know, she's trying to do everything she can to win the case. She's a lawyer. You know, she even tries to do some dirty hand tactics, but Steve is like, no, we won't. We're not going to win it that way. I refuse to win it that way because I'm an American. And what we learn is that, obviously, we know Steve has that never back down attitude. Well, at least according to this guy, again, this is all, you know, here. No, I don't think they rolled out hearsay. It's not hearsay, but
it's something to do with a dying man because guy died.
And so basically, because Steve Rogers was at least back in the 1940, I don't know, it had to be before he got, it's like 1940 and 41 probably, where Steve was too afraid to not shut the fuck up. And because of that, this mobster killed this guy's brother. Is it brother?
Yeah, he went with a friend to try and bring this guy's criminal brother back. The boss catches on to them being there, and he doesn't like witnesses, so he brings them in. Steve doesn't stop talking, not really pleading, but trying to get the guy out of there, the criminal. And so the mob boss guns down the guy whose brother they were trying to get, the guy who Steve went with. And so They're pinning that fault on Steve.
Yeah, which is and so
statute of limitations much? What?
Well, I don't
really.
It's special. it's the case. It's an engaging story. Is all that matters. And so, like I said earlier, there's an exchange between towards the end of the book where basically apparently Steve asked for Matt to do this, and Matt, being the guy he is, like, you're Captain America. I can't do this to you. You know, I'm basically...
Not even that. Matt went to Steve to warn him.
Oh, about that they were going to ask. Yes, right. I'm sorry. And then
it's even worse because Matt's like, hey, I'm heads up. This is going to hit you. And then Steve's just like, now why don't you take the case?
And he told him to bring out his best, which I'm like, damn. So, and so basically, like, he's doing the best he can because, you know, Cap asked him to do it, and he feels like it's the right thing to do, and Cap has a plan. And the issue ends with you sort of, like, Cap kind of not – basically being as truthful as he is, but it's hurting Jennifer's defense. It's like, come on. Damn it, Steve. Stop being so honest. But I'm interested to see how this falls out. And it's been a gripping story, you know, about, you know, Captain America – and She-Hulk and lawyer proceedings. It's too bad the book got canceled though, which sucks. But
yeah.
It ends at issue 12. Which it's I get. Then again, when has a She-Hulk book not been canceled? You know, it's there's never been there's books that have lasted a while, but She-Hulk generally doesn't stick around much. A while. But I'll say this is
not unless it's like a parody Moonlight. Porn comic.
Well, yeah, they keep giving her chances, which is fine. But I'm sure she'll get another ongoing eventually someday down the road. But I've really enjoyed this. Less focusing on the smashing stuff, and I know that's what a lot of people think when you think of She-Hulk. But I like the fact that, yeah, she's a lawyer, and they really use that in this run.
And nobody could have wrote it better because Sewell is actually a lawyer.
Yeah, he's a certified lawyer. So it's all coming. I think if you're a person who's not into action, who wants the action and doesn't want all this dialogue, I don't think you'll like this. But I have found it equally as engaging, and I'm looking forward to seeing how this issue actually how the series itself wraps up, if it's going to wrap up with this trial of Captain America or Steve Rogers, rather, not Captain America. He's not Captain America anymore. So I give it a 4 out of 5. It's really engaging, really, and it was really good. You know, it proves that just Matt Murdock is just that damn good when he wants to be. You know, he's the best lawyer in the Marvel Universe. All right, Brian, Taze, I'm going to save you for last because I know you have interesting to say about Guardians of the Galaxy number 20. But Brian, take it away.
Okay, so I'm going to call an audible here and actually do Avengers number 37. So.
You don't want to.
No.
All right, that's fine.
No funny talk. Just, you know, I'm going to do it instead. But I will plug the book that I'm talking about. I was going to talk about at the end. So, this is part 2 of that 8-month skip where, you know, apparently all the Illuminati is now being hunted down and such. And it appears as though, not to toot my own horn, but it appears I was right on the money. S.H.I.E.L.D. Their number one priority right now is hunting down the Illuminati for the actions they took, or rather didn't take, as we'll find out, because as the story unravels, we find that, yes, the Cabal did indeed appear in front of the UN General Assembly and pretty much said, we're going to keep killing worlds for you, and you can either get behind that or you can fuck right off because we really don't care. And the UN just kind of was like, sold! To the highest bidder, because they bow down to the Cabal quicker than you can say $5 blowjob, because holy shit. Yeah, so the United Nations agree to let the Cabal do their good work, so to speak. And in exchange, everyone leaves them alone.
Have you heard the word of the Lord? I want to kill your world.
Gives them full autonomy to do whatever they desire, and they only ask for a few things in return.
You never want to tell Reed Richards that.
Just let me get to
it. No, I just want to say that you never want to tell Reed Richards those words.
Tell Reed Richards what?
I give you full autonomy to do whatever you want.
He wasn't telling that to Reed Richards. No, he was saying that Terax the Tamer.
I'm just saying in general. You never want to tell that to Reed Richards.
Fair enough. Well, he's not doing much of anything nowadays anyway.
Is he dead?
So, yeah, where was I? Right, UN. So the UN pretty much said, yeah, you keep doing your thing, keep killing worlds, preserve us, and we'll be just super duper. And the Cabal only asked for a few things in exchange. One of which was outlawing the Illuminati, all those involved. And another one of those things was Wakanda, to pretty much do with as they wish. And boy, as we saw in the last New Avengers issue, did they ever just give them Wakanda, because that place got fucked up. Anyway, this issue doesn't focus so much on the Illuminati. It focuses more on S.H.I.E.L.D. as it stands in the modern day, because S.H.I.E.L.D. cannot go after the Cabal. They've been expressly forbidden, and they have been pretty much limited to just operating, you know, sort of quietly. They're not really given much room to move anymore, because they're afraid it will upset or it will conflict with the Cabal in some way. And now, the S.H.I.E.L.D.'s number one priority is hunting down all the members of the Illuminati. This team consists of an elderly Captain Steve Rogers, so, spoilers, he probably beats the murder rap, Maria Hill, Captain Carol Danvers, Sam Wilson, who's still operating as Captain America, and Susan Storm, who is helping to hunt down her husband. Yeah. Oh, and Hawkeye, too, I guess. But Hawkeye, so. So they track the last known energy signature of the Illuminati to Rome, and they don't find the Illuminati anymore because, hey, they're geniuses, so they're obviously quick enough to move. But instead, they find a hologram playing over and over again. And it's of Beast and Hulk playing chess with each other. And it's a conversation going back and forth, and they realize that they're not acknowledging the people there. And so Steve kind of, like, goes over the board, moves a piece, and the thing clicks, "Hello, Steve, it's been a while." And you're like, holy shit, this is a smart program or something, so to speak. And what I love about this is that it's pretty much Beast and Hulk just telling Steve to fuck off because he's not smart enough to catch them.
Hulk sunned him.
Yeah.
He sunned Hulk, Captain America.
Beast says, if you're going to get serious about catching us, you're going to have to come to grips with your shortcomings and adjust accordingly. After all, we're not playing a game with some kind of arbitrary rule, Steve. We're playing you. And Hulk goes, better up your game, son.
Just Wait, tells Hulk him can to talk now?
Yeah, yeah, Hulk's smart and
he had
tough,
that
you know.
Thing done to him that allows him to maintain yeah, his still intelligence intact. While also gain his, you know, rage and whatever fuck. Oh.
Steve gets pissed off, tells everybody to leave, and he takes a club and smashes the hologram.
Is he
bits.
Old man Steve at this point?
Yes, he is still old man Steve.
Oh, so
he's even he's Harrison Ford.
No, he's Clint Eastwood.
Old.
Clint Eastwood is elderly Wolverine, old man Logan.
That's okay.
Actually, I like that.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. It's, oh, wait yeah. a minute. Wolverine's dead, so that's not going to happen.
Yeah, well. Anywho, so it cuts to a scene about Susan and Steve kind of going back and forth talking about how everything went wrong, and it recaps all the UN stuff that went down. And Sue brings up a point of after having video analyzed where it says that, 95% of the member nations knew what was going on before Terax came forward. And it's like, yeah. Most yep. of the people knew what was going on and didn't say shit. It was only yep. when Terax literally stood in front of the UN and presented a speech that they said, yeah, let's vote with this guy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they also talk with a bit with Carol, who updates them on tracking the members of the Illuminati they know are out of reach. They and Susan, it's a point in this that Susan's brought deeper into the inner circle of Steve because, you know, you figure with her husband being Richard, she wouldn't be that welcome, but her devotion is slowly getting her brought further in. And one thing that they come to realize is that Brian Braddock, a.k.a. Captain Britain, is now working with the Illuminati in conjunction. And one thing I actually kind of like a little thing tucked away is that they're trying to compare notes about what to do to deal with her, and they mentioned, what about Betsy? Can we get to Betsy? And Captain Marvel says this. Betsy Braddock Psylocke is protected by the X-Nation. We can't get to her the same way we can't get to Beast. There's an entire independent state of X-Men being run presumably by Cyclops, judging by the photos they have of the people assembled there. More internal politics about how the S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't welcome anywhere anymore because of the U.N.'s authority kind of compromising their ability to do anything. Steve's upset because, you know, Tony and Reed are still AWOL. And what I like is that Captain Marvel refers to them as Iron Man and Mr. Fantastic, and Steve's like, don't call them that. They lost the right to those names a long time ago. It's Reed Richards and Tony Stark. That's it.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Meta commentary, maybe?
Maybe. Anyway, 2 days after that fact, Sue Storm meets up with Reed Richards in secret to pass along intel about what's been going on.
Wait, aren't they married?
Yes.
Why are they meeting?
Whoa, they are. Surprising.
Why aren't they meeting in secret? What the fuck?
Because Reed's an outlaw, and Susan is working with S.H.I.E.L.D. to catch them.
The fuck?
She's a plant.
Why?
She is a mole inside S.H.I.E.L.D. for the Illuminati.
Grr.
Well then.
And she likes his beard, because Reed has a beard now. And also, he's back to classic Fantastic Four uniform. So,
yay! You know. Oh, the blue?
Yeah, the blue and black.
Cool.
Yay.
Yeah. So she updates him about how, you know, I'm being brought in, they trust me and stuff. And Reed asks about the kids, of course, Val and Franklin. Franklin is upset, and Val's kind of like, she thinks she's onto a way to help set everything right again, but she doesn't really know. Sue kind of says, like, I know she wrote you this note, but I wouldn't put much faith in it. You know, just, you don't have to listen to her. She's still just a child. You can find another way. And it's kind of ambiguous, the note. I mean, it's not really, but I'm trying to figure out how to phrase it. I'll let you decide. The note is structured as such. Dad, you can't win. Time to start figuring out how not to lose, Val. Very oddly worded, but I think the point's kind of like you can't come out on top of this. Like, you're just going to have to try and probably settle for, you know, saving the day, not really accepting any of the glory or any even, you know, any.
Kill me.
Yeah, really. That's what it sounds like. And it kind of sets a really darker tone for what we're getting into here. But this was just an endless buffet of just the Illuminati outclassing a neutered S.H.I.E.L.D. and just showing them what's what. And that Steve is so blind by his crusade to capture these guys, he doesn't even know Sue Storm is working for them, which I think is just brilliant.
Actually, I'm going to bet that he does.
You think he's onto her?
Reed Richards, yeah. Of course he would know.
No, well, he could suspect, but it doesn't look like they've taken and, like, neutered him mentally. You know, he's not stupid. Cap's never been a dumb man. He's pretty observant. And, excuse me, sorry.
I see.
He might notice, but I think he's pulling her in close so he can watch her close. You know, I bet. Okay, I've been wrong plenty of times here, but just watch.
What?
Yeah.
And if I can just say, I meant to mention this earlier. Apparently, it's implied that after Terax made his speech, Steve got up and tried to beat him to death with his cane on the floor of the UN.
I have to.
The idea of that is hilarious.
The image of old frail Steve trying to beat Terax the Tamer on the floor of UN. It makes for like a Fox News worthy video. So,
but yeah, I bet you Steve has a clue. He may not know, but I think he has a clue. And
I certainly hope so. Otherwise, I'm severely underestimating him.
Yeah,
that was the issue. Stellar writing by Hickman, peerless art by Diodato. Diodato's on this book.
Oh, he's back on Avengers?
Yes, he's back on now.
Oh, wow, he didn't waste any fucking time from Original Sin to this. I figured he would have taken a break.
Nope, he jumps right back into it, man.
Wow, that's crazy.
So yeah, gives the issue a bump. I don't know. Taser, what would you rate this? You read it, obviously, right?
Yeah, you know, I got to say, this storyline kind of pulled me back into Avengers because I hadn't touched it for.
I kind of want to read it now.
It's really been interesting. That whole time jaunt thing and seeing Captain America came back and was like, fuck them, we need to get them. I was,
something happened. But we don't know why the Illuminati are rogues, right? We don't know. Or is that,
yeah, you have to read New Avengers.
Have they said that there? Why they're on the run?
Well, it's been developing the whole time.
Okay.
Because what was it? The last issue or two when they had that big falling out. Because remember, I think I reviewed it when everybody was standing at the precipice and they had to destroy that planet and nobody wanted to push the button. And then Namor manned up and did it. And then they all flipped out over him doing it because, oh, how could you? How could you? And he's like, fuck y'all. It had to be done. I believe the Tony thing happened in Avengers happens right after that at some point. Like, really close.
This is like taking what Namor knew he had to do and, like, basically taking the world and bending it over and just kind of straight
right.
railing it.
Because the Cabal thing happens. That happens in New Avengers also. So this thing happening in Avengers, that happens right after at some, you know, somewhere really close to. And then, you know, Steve had that whole time jaunt thing where, you know, Iron Man kind of went, oh, see ya, and left him to bounce around and, you know, everybody else got sent back. And when he comes out of it, you know, with freaking Iron Lad and everybody else, what was it, Iron Lad, Immortus, and Kang telling, you're yes. doing it wrong. Stop trying to fuck with it. And Captain America went, I refuse to believe. And he comes back.
Everyone's always like, telling me I'm wrong. Well, the world is wrong. I'm right.
The first thing he did was when he came out, he said, find me Iron Man. Find me Reed Richards. Find me. He basically find everybody in the Illuminati.
Find me Beast. You know?
Yes, everybody. Find me Banner and Dr. McCoy. Find me these fuckers. And
wait, Banner's part of the Illuminati now?
Yes. Huh. They pulled Banner in.
Huh.
Well, they had to replace Steve. So.
Oh, Steven?
Captain America.
No, what about Doc? What about Doc Strange? Is he still in it?
He's MIA.
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh, okay. He's prepping for his own monthly. Okay, that's cool.
Although I will say that the Brian Braddock edition, that I didn't see.
Wait,
coming.
What?
Yeah, that he did. Brian mentioned it. He said, Brian
Braddock in the Illuminati now.
Look, let's be honest. None of us, I don't really pay attention. Okay.
Hey, that's my line, okay?
Look, okay.
Yeah,
so they got Captain fucking Britain.
Yeah.
I have to read this.
Last Vanguard of the multiverse protecting.
Okay, that does make. Why would he join this then? He's. God.
No, actually, that does make perfect sense. It really does.
You know what? You're right, but still. Looks like I have to read this now. God,
but, you know, this storyline. I think this is what issue, like part eight of, you know, that whole time thing.
As far as it's only the second issue of the Avengers time skip. It was this one and the one before it, and the last two issues of New Avengers are all revolving around this time skip. So from that point on.
But hold on, the Captain America, that time skip thing happened like over what, four or five issues.
Well, I'm talking about the thing we're dealing with now, where it's like eight months ahead in the future.
Oh, right. But I'm just saying this still follows that. This is Hickman merging those two storylines together.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
So, you know, and I mean, what was it, the issue before then you had, what was it, Sunspot and Cannonball talking about some big planet they had, along with Thor and Hyperion, and actually going out and confronting the genesis of whatever it is that started all this. So Hickman's actually really moving forward with this storyline to, I think, bring it to its middle phase or maybe its conclusion. Mm. And this is really kind of what I've been waiting for, you know, because that whole thing with Starbrand was a waste. I'm sorry. Him and Nightmare.
Yeah.
That kind of pulled me out. This brought me back into reading this book, you know? So if anything, I would say to anybody listening to my voice, go back and pick up the last four issues of, I'll say, both New Avengers and Avengers, and you can jump in and read this, and it's just, it's been really, really good. I would give this a 4.7 out of
co-sign.
5.
Co-sign. I co-sign that.
It's just, this is wow.
Okay.
You know, this is really wow. It's not giving me my Namor and Black Panther all out fuck you brawl. I mean, they kind of truncated that like I wanted to, but still in all, this is some good storytelling. So this is
man. Namor's got that buyer's remorse right now. You know?
Yes, he does. I just won't pick
Doom told him to go fuck himself.
Well, let's bring it down a bit, because Taser is gonna end us on a dour note with Guardians of the Galaxy number 20. I can't believe that shit is. I thought they would have wrapped that shit up already, but okay.
What happened in this one?
This was the conclusion of the storyline of whatever happened to Richard Rider. Remember the fault thing?
Yes.
Where you know, Dick Ryder and
you and I just had a whole conversation about this on the board.
Right.
Actually.
So you know, Bendis has been trying to answer the question of whatever happened to it. And originally he gave this an original sin thing, you know, and I'm kind of, you know, I'm still sitting here like, really, what's the hook? You know, I don't really get it, but whatever. So the last two issues, you know, it's basically been Star-Lord and Gamora talking, and she apparently had grabbed him, taken him into a room, and forced him to tell her what happened to Richard.
Oh, that went a different direction than I thought it was going to go. Sorry.
Well, considering they've really femmed Gamora in this version of the book.
Took him in a room. Yeah, yeah. Put him down. Yeah, yeah. And forced him. Yeah.
I'm talking femmed as in really kind of made her more human than badass angel chick. They made her human. I don't like it. That's why I can't touch this book. One of the reasons, anyway. The last two issues was him telling her this story while he's tied up and sitting in a chair. And most of it's been Ryder and Star-Lord fighting Thanos, who's partly insane with a broken cosmic cube, and the Revengers. They get involved, and it's all this big fight over the cosmic cube and people getting killed and just coming back because you can't die over there. So yeah, Star-Lord and freaking Drax and Thanos kind of fighting naked. You got big bald blue purple guy, big bald green guy, and you know, Richard Rider, and he's got no clothes on. Not Richard Rider, Star-Lord. The only person who really keeps his clothes is you know, Nova. And they're the Cancer Vendor Avengers, but they all get annihilated at some point in this issue, so they become a non-factor. This issue kicks off with Gamora, you know, kind of walking out because she doesn't believe the story that Peter's telling her. And, you know, she's all like, I can't believe after all we've been through, you're going to lie to me like this. How could you do that? I pray we never cross paths again. He's like, she doesn't believe me. I told her. And it kills me that we have Drax here looking hurt. Like, you told her? I can't. You made a promise to never speak. How could you tell her? As if he's really concerned. And again, I know that, you know, there are people out there who like the whole emotional context and conflict that, you know, comes with this. But I know Drax, and Drax would not care that much about him telling her. Really,
they've also humanized. They've humanized Drax the Destroyer.
Yes, they have, and it's annoying. They actually have him looking sad, which is just so fucking disturbing. Yeah, it's wrong. I'm sorry. No, it's wrong. But this is what they've been doing. And they managed to convince Gamora to stick around so he can continue the story. And we pick up with the Captain America from over there. He manages to get his hand on the faulty cosmic cube. And, you know, it's pretty much a big oh shit fuck moment because it's a cosmic cube. You know, it's Infinity Gauntlet, cosmic cube, and then other stuff. But cosmic cube, you know, pones a lot of things. And you have that thing in the hands of one being you really don't want having their hands on it. So they take him, you know, he opens fire. But oh no! Richard Rider, missing an arm, comes in out of nowhere. And, you know, he swoops up Drax and, you know, Peter Quill. And then they're just, you know, jumping all over Thanos, who really can't die. And, you know, fight, fight, fight. And
friendship combat.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Ryder's all like, I'm not going to make it. I think I'm going to die. So, you know, they're trying to convince Richard to, come on, you've got to fight it. You've got to live. And yeah, Drax takes some cloth from his loincloth, and he's like trying to make a tourniquet, and he's like, is that sanitary?
That's not bad.
He's tying it around his stump, and, you know, the Avengers are, you know, jumping on Thanos, and apparently Thanos somehow or other comes out ahead holding the faulty cosmic cube, like, wow, really, Bendis? Seriously? Okay. Okay. And he's just wiped them all out, and he's holding it. So Drax takes, and he, you know, charges at him, and, you know, it becomes a whole big, and, you know, yeah, they don't want, Thanos cannot have the cosmic cube. That's just not a, that's not a good thing either. So it becomes a whole get the thing out of his hand thing, and, you know, dogpile on Thanos, and, you know, they're like, keep away, you know, he's diving for it, and they knock it away again. And at one point, Drax gets his hands on that Thor's Mjolnir, and he actually starts beating Thanos with it, you know, and I mean, yeah, that means he's swinging Mjolnir around. So, you know, there's a bit of internal monologue, like, really? It's Mjolnir. Shouldn't that really not work? And but well, maybe the rules for this thing doesn't, you know, it's not the same as our guy. So whatever. You just see thwack, 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 thwack. They manage to knock it free, but then Thanos knocks Drax, and he dies for it. But Richard Rider gets his hands on it. So now Richard Rider holds the faulty cosmic cube. And then he goes into this whole big farewell, fearful soliloquy about how he regretted not being able to make Gamora happy, and he wanted kids, and he wanted to get the Nova Corps back, and, you know, I'm dying, and, you know, this is like my last thing I'm going to do. You know, basically something that somebody gives when they have one act left in them before they die. And I'm kind of sitting here and I'm looking at this and I'm, why is this such a big problem? He's holding the thing. It apparently hasn't been misfiring or anything, so Bendis kind of subtly, you know, ignored the fact that it was working and then not working. So Richard Rider takes and he basically opens the door and he sends all of them back, you know, but somehow or other he acts as if this is like a big task for him, you know, like this is his final act. I'm like, you have a cosmic cube. You can heal yourself with that. You know, I mean, that's the thing you can do. You know, hey, look, my arm is back to normal. I'm not dying anymore. And yay, we're back at home. And put Thanos in like an adamantium cage. But no, he decides to make it, again, like I said, you know, final act. He opens a door. He brings them back over to, you know, the 616. And, you know, most of them were unconscious and, you know, Drax is lying there, duh, and, you know, Quill wakes up, and he looks off in the distance, and he sees Thanos standing there, and then Thanos just goes about his business, And Ryder flies off. That's it. He flies off.
What a deadbeat.
Yeah. You know? So I'm kind of thinking, wait a minute. He dropped them on a planetoid that apparently had an atmosphere because, you know, while Drax and Thanos would have survived, freaking Peter would have died because they're still naked. And that's it, you know? And Peter tells Gamora, that's why I lied to you. Thanos thought he knew the rules. We thought we knew the rules to all this, but we do not. We'd like to think we do, but really, blah, blah, blah. Clearly, he didn't. Clearly, Thanos didn't. He didn't know a damn thing, and that's why I lied to you. Like I said, we don't have to know everything, but that's okay. But we need to know we can trust each other no matter what. Yeah. I shit you not. This is basically what – this is exactly what he's telling her. I was so torn, I betray him or I betray you because Richard Ryder didn't want Peter to tell her for some reason. You know, I still don't get it. And, you know, Peter tells her, if you want to leave, you can leave, but I hope you stay. He asks us to keep this from you because he loved you. And all she's doing is, you know, looking at him. Oh. And then she turns around, she walks into her cab, and then she cries. And that's it.
So
badass space assassin, yay! So,
what, badass space assassins can't have feelings?
No, no. No, 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 no. Far from it, because, you know, I kind of read Nova when they were together, so...
Oh, they actually were a thing?
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they were. She also... They also got converted by the Ultron virus. See, that's why you need to go back and read
I've read some of it. Unfortunately, a lot of it is out of print. What do you want me to do?
Start digging through the dollar bins, man. But anyway.
Those.
Well, no. I don't have a problem with her being whatever over finally being told. Peter says, I did this because I loved him. And for all the shit we don't know, you need to know we all love you. Like, wow,
so
really?
Is Richard Ryder dead now? Is he dead?
Yeah, I'm guessing not because he was holding a cosmic cube, but he just kind of flew off and nobody knows where the fuck he is.
Oh, so he's going to be there until somebody wants to come get him. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
You know, so it's – oh, Richard Ryder's not dead. He's just
– floating. Oh, wait. He's just floating.
Yeah, he's well, somewhere.
Yeah.
He's looking like a star.
He'll be back.
Somewhere.
He'll be back.
But see, that's kind of the point, though, because while I'm kind of glad that Richard Ryder isn't dead, there's no reason for him to have been gone if this is the case. He was holding a cosmic cube.
Maybe he's in a coma?
No, because then how would he have flown?
Oh, he flew away. Never mind. I thought...
Yeah, and he dropped him off and
maybe he doesn't want to come back for a while? Maybe he...
What, because he's upset.
Fuck this shit. I'm going on vacation.
Yeah, he just needs a break after all that shit. Right. You know?
Sure. No, it's just... Well, A, first of all, Bendis had to kind of tweak the rules and add Drax to the storyline because, you know, Drax. You know, for no reason.
I didn't know Drax was a draw.
He wasn't there originally. It was just him and it was just Peter and Richard.
Yeah.
You know, against Thanos. Drax wasn't there. But he added him because, you know, Drax. And then when we get to the end of this storyline, it's like, well, what? You know, I don't get it. You know, she knows that you know, everybody basically came home safe, you know.
Well, except for one guy, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, missing an arm but still alive and holding a cosmic cube. This doesn't answer anything. It's like, okay, well, Rich is not dead, but then where the fuck is he? And there's no reason. I can understand if he had come back unconscious or something had happened to make him fly off, like maybe it was about to explode. You know, I get that. But that's not present. There's no reason for Richard not to be there, aside from the fact that, I just don't feel like it. So, yeah, this is lame. You know, I don't approve of this conclusion at all. It's just, this just does nothing, you know? And I'm kind of sad that I wasted time reading it. You know, I'm pissed off that he wasted time writing this. You know, he could have done much better. I've read better from Bendis. And this was like, ugh. You know, why do you even bother? So, yeah. I would probably give this issue and the whole storyline 1.7 out of 5, and that's for the art, you know?
Oh, yeah, it was McGinnis.
Bullshit.
Is McGinnis on art, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Oh,
okay. No wonder this book came out a little later than it came out.
McGinnis and Valerio Shitty?
Shitty?
S-H-I-T-I?
Oh, yes. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
Ted McGinnis, we're all here for, people. All right. That's going to do. Huh?
It Dart was fine. It's just a very disappointing conclusion.
Okay. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. See, Brian, maybe Brian should have gone last then. It would have ended on a high note.
I can talk briefly about the Doctor Strange story.
Yeah, you've already.
Yay, Doctor Strange!
You've already.
Yay!
Thing.
Doctor Strange?
Well, then at least let me plug it.
No.
He said plug it.
You can do it next week. Well, thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to, you can follow us on Facebook. The Warriors 3. Taser keeps that alive and chugging. Good old Taser keeping that alive because I refuse to step on the Facebook.
Yeah, you live on Twitter.
Yeah, pretty much. Twitter.com/Warriors3PCast. If you want to ask us a question on the show, we'll answer it live. Nobody's done it yet, but if you want to, you can ask us there. Or if you're a member of the GreenLanternCorps.com and you don't want to talk about everything but Green Lantern, well, that's also a good place. That's where we got our start. That's where we all met, so it's a good place to hang out.
Wait. Hold on. Before you finish, I'd like to put this out there to any of the guys, you know, on the GLCMB or elsewhere who listen to our show. I'd like for you guys to give us a book to read, something that we don't review, you know, personally that we may not touch, that you think we should touch on, you know, kind of like what, you know, Wes does when he keeps telling us to, you know, review X-Men.
Or Black Widow.
Yeah, or Black Widow. So, yeah, you know, either post on our Facebook or on the message boards, give us a book that you want us to review. We used to do that, didn't we?
Once.
We haven't done it in a while.
No,
I think.
Once,
yes.
because I'm generally I'm the commander in chief. I make the decision, but I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind it though.
Get off
yeah,
the
I, yeah, exactly. You know, like, hey, Tim, you know who you
Tim.
Are.
Tim Curry.
What book would you, or D to the P?
Tim Curry.
D to the P.
Tim Curry. Do they all float down there?
Give us a book that you think that you
we
know,
don't talk
you
about.
Exactly.
And, you know, and there's a lot. Keep it Marvel-centered universe only, though. So there you go.
Yay!
Yeah. There's got to be something none of us read that somebody's loving. So I'm going to go ahead and plug my thing. If you like me, you please check out, obviously, last month started the Green Lantern, the latest Green Lantern crossover, Godhead. If you want
Godhead.
I wrote the first act is officially concluded as of last Wednesday, and all my reviews of that are up from Green Lantern, Green Lantern and Core, New Guardians, Sinestro, and Red Lanterns, and the Alpha issue of it. I can't remember what it's called. Also, I did a review on Multiversity, the Just number one. The latest chapter in the Multiversity series by Grant Morrison. And I also did a review on the Earth 2 Worlds in issues 2 through 4, which will be the standard format going forward. I'll be reviewing the weekly book as a month, as a whole big ensemble versus week by week, because let's face it, it's a weekly book. Only so much can happen to write a review about it, at least in my opinion. And, yeah, so go to greenlandcore.com for my reviews. Please comment. Please tell others. Please spread the word. And, you know, maybe DC will give me comps. I don't think they do that anymore. I think they only give you digital copies, if at all. And also, if you like the writing there, please head over to marvelousiggy.wordpress.com where you can support well, not support, but help, but look at me and Mr. Dragon's take on the video game world. This past Friday, we wrapped up our first ever Halloween month, where we did a whole month dedicated to Halloween theme or spooky video games. You know, classics such as Castlevania, Resident Evil, Silent Hill, and some personal favorites like Dragon reviewing Dead Rising 2, which I know is one of his personal favorites. So, and if you like that, Dragon is kicking off November. He's dedicated basically the next month to nothing but Dragon Age. So if you're a huge Dragon Age fan and you want to see his take on the franchise, and give you a hint, he's very excited about the franchise. And he'll be doing Dragon Age Origins Awakening, I believe the expansion that came afterwards, Dragon Age 2, and ultimately ending this month, you know, with Dragon Age Inquisition, the latest in the series. So again, if you like Dragon Age, MarvelousSiggy.wordpress.com is going to be the place to be this month. Me, I'll have some things in tune. You'll see what they are. They're not planned with Dragon Age just because I'm not a fan of the franchise. But there'll be something for me in November. You guys got anything? Because I think I pretty much covered what I'm going to do.
I plan on scratching myself at some point in the near future.
I would just like to plug the book that Iggy said I couldn't plug. It's Access Revolutions, number one, but the real gem of the book is Hoary Hosts of Hate, written by Simon Spurrier. It's focused exclusively on Doctor Strange and how much of a dick he is when influenced under the hate wave. It's really clever writing. I think you should give it a check out. Okay. Plus, in terms of animated women, I would say Samus Aran. She could snap me in half like a Kit Kat. I don't really care.
I don't get it.
Metroid.
What?
He says, what do you want to plug? Samus Aran.
Oh yeah. Oh, she. Yeah, she's a good number.
she can break me in half like a Kit Kat anytime.
Well, she's like 7 feet tall. I think. She could.
That's the armor.
She could. No. Well. No. I even. Think, well, she, then she's like 6'5". She's a tall woman.
She's like, I don't care. Okay.
There's nothing wrong with a big woman.
No, there's not. well, again, please check out all the links. Please check out everything we do, or I do, rather. And, of course, the Facebook group. I think I should force him to do a Marvel Warriors 3 Instagram and just post funny Marvel memes over the course of the
internet. Oh, God, please don't make me do Instagram. Anything but that.
You have Instagram, don't you? I thought you already had it.
No. That's the one thing I've stayed away from this whole time.
You have something.
I have a Tumblr.
There you go. I should get you to do a Warriors 3 Tumblr.
I had a Tumblr.
Get you to do like Warriors Marvel memes all over the place. All right. So until next week, we'll see y'all back next week.
Yeah. Taser, your Tumblr's porn blog, so you know.
It used to be.
We'll see y'all next week for episode number 180.